The Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. Today we are speaking to Diana Johnston. She is the author of Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusions, and also Queen of Chaos, the Misadventures of Hillary Clinton. And today we want to focus on an article written by Diana Johnston titled Washington Trembles, The Charge of the Invisible Army of Kremlin Trolls. And I found that in the December 31 globalresearch.ca. Diana, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
This is a, I can't find another word, a very peculiar story. The Washington Post, is, as you begin your article, is, they published a story with the title almost like yours, Kremlin Trolls, Burned Across the Internet as Washington Debated Options. So this is, we're back to this thing which has now reached is full blown, that idea that everything going on in our world might have a Russian element to it.
Well, they don't even have the might have. They just take it for granted.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little slow. Yes.
It's gone farther than it's that.
The new game is find
a couple of months behind.
Yeah, find an event and then look for the Russian. Well, you, of course, started off on this with the name Alice. We have Alice Donovan. They have pegged their story on one person who had one name, where articles were published at various places on sites on the internet, and this is extremely sinister in the view of the Washington Post. So tell us about your take on this.
Well, my take on this is extremely skeptical. You see, first of all, they say the story begins by saying that by bringing in counterpunch and saying that she called, they got a message from her first message from her at in the morning, which was, aha, daytime in Moscow. you know, there. I know a lot of people who work until 3 o'clock in the morning, by the way. And besides, that was in California when it's not 3 o'clock in the morning in New York.
Yes.
So, I mean, they start off right away. This is the kind of clues they have. This is a proof of a Moscow plot that the message arrived at 3 o'clock in the morning in California. Well, the thing is that the FBI warned Counterpunch that they had been investigating this Alice Donovan as a Kremlin troll. Now, why the hell, if I may say so, is the FBI in counter-espionage investigating someone who writes opinion pieces for websites? Why? That, to start with, is rather horrifying.
Yes.
But the story gets more interesting because clearly when the Washington Post, or when the FBI calls up Counterpunch and says, you've been publishing a Russian troll, I mean, I think it's meant to make Counterpunch nervous. It's meant to make the editors of these sites nervous that articles they take when they don't personally know the author might be a Russian troll. I think it's meant deliberately to spread unease, if not fear, among websites. But the story gets better because Counterpunch tried to find this woman and couldn't, but did find out what is extremely interesting is that she was a plagiarist and that the stories that she was sending around were picked out of from other stories. I mean, they were stories that, you see, from the Washington establishment viewpoint, could be considered the sort of thing that Russians do because they criticized Hillary Clinton. So did I. So that they criticized our policy in Syria. So did I.
Yes.
Et cetera. They were stories that had the same themes that I do and that a number of writers do, but they weren't very strong, and there was no revelation in them. Mm-hmm. Now, it seems to me that if a Russian troll is going to go to the trouble of sending articles around, there ought to be something in it that isn't just a pale copy of what other people have written already. I would think they would want to come in with something tougher and more ha-ha, and, you know, some expose that would shake things up. Instead, this is just a copy of a paste-and-cut job from other rather mild stories, and I think this is exactly what the FBI would do if they wanted to create a fictional writer that they could then identify as a Kremlin troll, because they would just copy up other types of articles of that sort. And have this, send them around to various websites, and then pounce and say, aha, you've been publishing a Kremlin troll. You see, it seems to me that's obviously what it is. I can't see any possible reason that the Russians would do this, but I see the perfect reason that the FBI would do this.
Yes. And by the way, yes, you made the point that, well, where is the exceptionality? These are not exceptionally well written. And they don't have any exceptional news. So it's like they're wasting the time and money. If it was the Russians, I'd say, well, I think you put it in the article. You said, why don't you just relax? If that's the other side, you're not in any danger. It doesn't make any sense.
No, you see, it makes absolutely no sense that the Russians would do this. And of course, the whole story, so the FBI, as far as I'm concerned, makes up this Russian troll. This is my hypothesis. I can't help just coming right out and say it. I think the FBI makes this up.
It's a hypothesis.
And then sends these articles around so they can say, you've been, you know, and to shake up the Internet, because this is only part of an all-out attack on independent websites that's going on right now. If this were an isolated incident, but it fits right in with an all-out attack by, you call it the deep state, but what I mean is that the combination of intelligence services, they shouldn't be called intelligence services, should be called secret services, as they are in some other countries, and the mainstream media, to totally discredit any rival to the mainstream media. I mean, anybody who has a version of things that is critical of the official version is a rival to the mainstream media. So the mainstream media is cooperating with secret services to discredit these websites. And by the way, right at the same time, the French president is saying he came out New Year's saying he's going to introduce a law to ban or do something with fake news and RT. So it's clear there's a NATO country campaign to eliminate the criticism of the extremely dangerous anti-Russian policy that is being followed by the NATO countries right now.
Yes, they have. And by the way, isn't it kind of just one of the curious coincidences, but we have just a Hollywood movie celebrating what a wonderful institution the Washington Post is and how it saved everybody. But with the Pentagon Papers, and I was thinking the Pentagon Papers.
Well, actually, it was the New York Times that ran them.
What was the Post rule?
They came in with something, but the Post, actually, the Washington Post has always been hand in hand with the CIA. I mean, after all, that's how they got the Watergate business, even though Deep Throat.
What I'm thinking. Yeah, pardon me. That's right.
Well, they did that.
So we can trust them because they're the ones who are on the alert. They're vigilant for the American people.
Look. For one thing, they're not out for the American people. There was a controversy at the time. That's old history. About licenses for radio stations. the Washington Post was in a conflict with the Nixon administration, mm-hmm. and there were a whole lot of reasons that the Democrats wanted to get rid of Nixon, and they did.
Yes.
I mean, there are good reasons and bad reasons, but in any case, this is a power thing.
The
Washington Post and the CIA were working hand in hand on that. And remember, all these revelations were deep throat. You see, this is the kind of way they operate on anonymous witnesses, somebody who we have to. So you can't know who's saying this or why they're saying it or what it is all about. So all of this is very suspicious. But the fact is that both the Washington Post and the CIA have gotten much worse than they were back in the early 70s.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. On the matter of using pseudonyms and all that, And they make a big thing of this, that the person isn't who they represent as. But again, on the matter of the mediocrity of the content and opinion of the name, Alice Donovan, look, if they wanted to do something really have some impact, they would do something like, a revelation, a big shocking story.
Exactly.
But when you think of that, there's a famous pseudonym, Curveball, who all these papers told us had the information on the nuclear work in Iraq. And everybody says you can rely on him. And his name was Curveball.
Yeah.
And they all believed him.
Yeah, that's
and that was
right.
A big lie.
That's right. When the CIA, when our secret services use a fake name, it has some big impact. Now, the fake name of Alice Donovan has no impact whatsoever, except for the FBI to use this in order to intimidate websites, saying, "Oh, watch out, who's writing for you?" I mean, for one thing, if it's an anonymous, suppose it's an anonymous writer. How did the FBI know that this is anonymous? Why were they, why were they investigating this?
Yes.
Because it's not a person. They didn't find a person.
Right.
Now, I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. The more you think about it, the less sense it makes.
Yeah, you would think that if someone might reply to them, I don't know what that has to do with me. If you have a problem with that site author name, why don't you do your due diligence and find out what it is, and we'll all assess whether or not you actually have a case or it even means anything, right?
Yeah, but you see, then also the Post takes this story about this writer who. His name is on some stories that were really not original or important or anything, and then uses that as proof. This is a soldier in the army of Russian trolls.
Yeah.
But the only evidence of the army
soldier. We have one soldier.
Evidence. It's just taken for granted now because there's been so much hoopla and so much rumor and so much lies that it now is a matter of you just, of course, there's an army of Russian trolls. Nobody sees them, but of course they're there because we know that Putin is bad and he does things like that because he wants to spoil our beautiful democracy, which is functioning so well it has produced Donald Trump.
Yeah, what better proof could there be, actually?
I mean, it didn't take the Russians. Donald Trump is so American.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians couldn't invent somebody like that. He's pure American. An America elite doesn't want to face up to the fact that Trump is America.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid you're right. I mean, that he expresses all those things, which he just doesn't understand the need for folly swaddles. He just goes ahead and says things which are heard on Main Street across the country.
Of course, he has a terrible style, and the elite and whatever else they're doing, they want to look good.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump doesn't look good. And so it's humiliating for them all. So there's just this automatic Trump bashing is great fun. I don't care about that. What I care about is the Russian angle, because this is the desire to bash Trump has led the Democrats and so into accepting the whole thing that, oh, it couldn't be the American people that elected him. It must be the Kremlin.
Yes. Yeah, no, that's the most and the most dangerous part. We have people like Stephen Cohen, who's now, you know, finds himself under all kinds of pressure. And all he's simply saying, well, actually, diplomats historically have said, well, we should try work to have the best relations we can with a perhaps adversary. But this has to be war, and it has to be to the tooth and knife. And you're in trouble if you're not just that if you are neutral on the issue of what Russia is. You have to be against them. Isn't this what it is? I mean, you have to demonstrate that you are part of the great alliance to fight them.
Yeah, well, you see, I think you've had a convergence of two things. You've had the Democrats and the liberal establishment, which was absolutely counting on Hillary being elected. So was I, by the way. I mean, the fact is, when I wrote a book criticizing Hillary Clinton, I was expecting her to win. And I meant it as my book to prepare people to oppose the foreign policy that I expected she would be. Mm-hmm. So I, in a sense, it was very bad for my book that she lost, because I was really aiming for her to be president. So everybody expected her to be president, and the Democratic establishment simply has accepted the Russian excuse to cover up this horrible loss of the election. And at the same time, the War Party, which is looking for an excuse to be hostile to Russia, is using it for its own purposes. So there's a convergence of those who want hostilities toward Russia and even to the point of war, and of those who want to cover up for Hillary's loss. And so they have gotten together and fabricated this huge fiction about Russian interference, and because Russian has interfered in our elections, then, you know, we must do everything against them.
Yes.
And it's leading straight toward war. And, of course, Stephen Cohen is simply being sensible. But there was an article recently that showed that the Wall Street Journal advertising for a Moscow bureau chief, and they really laid out the policy. He has to believe, he has to think that Putin is all this problem, et cetera, et cetera. So the press is chosen. The mainstream media is chosen to develop the line, the official line. Well, I saw this already in Yugoslavia. They send in journalists who don't know anything about the country, I mean, in Yugoslavia, and they already know what the editors want them to write.
Mm-hmm. You know, you touch on, closing out your article, you make a point which is a kind of a conceit that America has, that it is just a well-meaning kind of country boy, and is really not up to facing the wiles of these sinister people. And that's been a theme throughout American history, hasn't it, with the camouflaging of their wars and interventions by saying, well, we really don't know what this is about, but we've come here to sort it out.
You know what? This is the persona is the sly yokel. You go to this place and here's this say, gosh, ma'am, I don't know what you're talking about, but at the same time, they're picking out how to pick your pocket and et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this phony innocence has become a national thing. I mean, it's all in our literature. It goes back to Henry James, everything about how innocent we are. But as a matter of fact, there's also the idea of the Yankee trader. The fact is that, you know, in our tradings with the other people and the Indians, et cetera, the United States word promise is worthless. They make treaties and then do the opposite and don't even notice it. And if so, This is a mask. This innocent stuff is a pretty transparent mask, and it works abroad in Europe, not in the rest of the world. In Europe, it works because there's a sense, the Americans are so much less cultivated than we are. They may be less cultivated, but every bit is sly.
I'm sorry, the last point again, please.
Well, I say the Americans may not be as cultivated as the Europeans, or they like to think that, but they are every bit as sly and clever when it comes to making deals.
Yes, abroad we are thought of as the Yankee traders.
Yeah.
And who are known for sharp practice.
Yeah, yeah.
But the pose is the innocence abroad.
Yeah. That's the pose. It's a convenient pose, which is supported by American culture's presentation of itself.
Yes.
in movies and books and so on.
Well, I think you've written a very important article. I hope everybody sees this. I found it at Global Research, who themselves have been contacted by Canada's national paper. There seems to be a kind of a pattern setting in. I was very glad to see it. Diana Johnson, thank you very, very much for talking to us today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
All the best.
Okay. And that was Diana Johnson. By the way, do get her books. She writes brilliantly, particularly the book about Hillary and the one on Yugoslavia, The Fool's Crusade. By the way, very good title.